Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving us this opportunity to come together this morning. Lord, as we close up this group of sermons on the Holy Spirit, I ask that you grant me wisdom, Lord. Wisdom to cover your word as it's written. Heavenly Father, I ask that you keep me quiet in areas that you'd rather me be quiet, and that you keep me on topic, Lord. Heavenly Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit grants those in the audience that need understanding the understanding that you'd like. Heavenly Father, I ask that you open our ears so that we can hear. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, for several months we've been working on the Holy Spirit. And we went through the deity of the Holy Spirit, the baptism, the anointing. We talked through the different gifts of the Holy Spirit, except for two. And that brings us to the last two. I was going to split this into two sermons originally, but in working through the scriptures this last week, I combined them. Out of all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, my experience has been these two are the most controversial: tongues and interpretations. This morning we talked through Acts and the days of Pentecost. One of the first times that we see evidence of the tongues being employed. Tongues and interpretations work together. And what we saw was the tongues were used to awaken the people that were around. That they were all from different backgrounds. They all spoke different languages. But when they heard their own language, their own dialect spoke, they became interested in what these disciples had to say. And Peter, then after they spoke in tongues, delivered a sermon and described to him what Jesus Christ meant, what his death meant, and what his resurrection meant. So we get a model in the day of Pentecost of tongues and interpretation working together as God planned. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, verse 16. This is Jesus speaking. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. All these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, Jesus foretold of this time when those who believe in him will do many things, including speak with new tongues. Acts 10, verse 44. Acts 10:44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. You see, what we have here is Peter was talking, and a group began to speak in tongues as they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit came into their hearts and anointed them and baptized them and granted a gift of tongues. And Peter saw this as evidence of true salvation, that they had received salvation, accepted it. He said, now they should be baptized. You see, speaking in tongues is a fruit of the Spirit. It's one of those evidence that the Holy Spirit is working inside of you. But I said one of those. It's not the only evidence. It's a gift. Turn with us to 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 4. There are a diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but is the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to... And that word is another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each to one individually as He wills. You see, if God had wanted the speaking of tongues to be the only evidence or the required evidence that the Holy Spirit was within you, then He would have chosen another word there. He would have said all. He would have said to all different kinds of tongues. And there are some out there that will take the scripture where Peter was with the crowd and he saw him speaking in tongues, and he said, that's evidence to mean that until you speak in tongues, there's no evidence of the Holy Spirit being inside of you. But I just pointed you where that's wrong. That's an incorrect doctrine. Because the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts as He wills. Not everyone can work miracles through the Holy Spirit. Not everyone can prophesy. Not everyone has discernment. Why do we expect everyone to speak in tongues? Yes, it's evidence. We're to look for fruits. But if you saw someone heal someone in the name of Jesus Christ and they got up and walked, wouldn't that be evidence as well of the Holy Spirit inside of them? Working through them? First Corinthians 12, 13. Another common interpretation of the events with Peter there was he said, go and be baptized now. Meaning that they weren't baptized by the Holy Spirit until they spoke in tongues. They couldn't be baptized until they spoke in tongues. That's another misinterpretation. I'll show you why. If we turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now that is just right after he said, to another I give this gift, and to another I give that gift. We are baptized into one body. And he uses this metaphor of the church as a body with arms, ears, eyes, all with different roles, but they're a part of the body. First Corinthians 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongue. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, do all have the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? but earnestly desire the best gifts, yet I show you a more excellent way. Even more so. Sadly, I've seen congregations torn apart because of the belief that everyone has to show they can speak in tongues to confirm that they have the Holy Spirit inside of them. But that's not Scripture. Why would he make it so abundantly clear in Corinthians? But all gifts are necessary for the church body. Not necessary for the individual member, but for the church body. 1 Corinthians 12:14 through 21. For in fact, the body is not of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Don't let Satan confuse you, make you think just because I've never spoken in tongues that I don't really have the Holy Spirit inside of me. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. You see, all gifts are necessary for the body, but not necessary for the member. Paul, when he was dealing with the Corinthians, he began to notice something. He began to notice how the Corinthians were putting a lot of emphasis on speaking in tongues. And they would babble as part of showing. Showing off. So Paul tried to talk with them, explain to them the error of the ways. 1 Corinthians 14, beginning in verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mystery. Now, I'm going to read this again because I read it kind of fast, and I want to make sure you catch on it. For he who speaks in a tongue. Now, earlier when we were reading through the Scriptures, it was the plural, tongues. But in this instance, it's the singular, in a tongue. And that's because he was talking to how they were acting at that point. They were acting at that point talking in a fake tongue to show off. There's a difference here in the word, and if you go back to the Greek, you'll find it there too. For no one understands him. Now, when we saw the situation that I read this morning in our scripture, when they spoke in tongues, the group had people that understood that tongue, those tongues there. They understood what was being said in those tongues. So here we see, for no one understands him. That's why we can furthermore say this is a difference that Paul's talking about. There's a difference between speaking in the gifts of tongues from the Holy Spirit and speaking in a tongue that Paul is talking about here. Because when we speak in tongues of the Holy Spirit, there is an understanding, there is an interpretation. But when we speak in a tongue singularly to show off, it's a mystery, for no one understands him. I know I'm getting deep into this, guys. But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues. There's our plural again. But even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. You see, Paul's point now, he says, speaking in tongues, the gift, is of lesser value than prophecy. However, if you have interpretation with you, an understanding can be reached. So these tongues and interpretation, they work hand in hand. And if you see the speaking of tongues without interpretation, then you need to be thinking, is this just tongue? Singular. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? In other words, if I speak to you guys in a different language and you don't understand a word of it, what good was it? Even things without life, without whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? I could grab a horn and just blow something on it. You wouldn't even recognize the song. And that's what he's equating it to. Someone speaking in a tongue without interpretation is the same thing as someone making noise. It doesn't give you a song that you can recognize. For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare to battle? So likewise, you, unless you uttered by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed giving thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank God I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in a church I would rather speak 5 words with my understanding than I may teach others, than 10,000 words in a tongue. Paul tries to put this in place. It isn't a show. Some of you may have been witnesses to this before, to where the speaking in tongue is a show. To edify the person speaking in the tongue and not to grant an understanding. So tongues without interpretation, without understanding, have no value. They're the same as a musical instrument just banged on. It's not music coming forth. It's not a song coming forth. Only when the speaking of tongues is accompanied with interpretation can that understanding be there and be put to use by the Holy Spirit. So when it is put to use by the Holy Spirit, what's it used for? 1 Corinthians 14:20. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. You see, The Lord uses the speaking of in tongues to reach the unbelievers, to give them a chance to hear them in their own language. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for the unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there came in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Didn't that happen? Isn't that what happened with Peter and the disciples? They began speaking in tongues. And some people were there going, wait a second, I recognize my own language here. Aren't these Galileans? How do they know my language? What are they talking about? But others were like, they're drunk. And Peter got up and said, no, they're not drunk. It's 3:00 in the afternoon. But if all prophecy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in and he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. You see, that's what was happening with those that recognized their language and were like, what's going on? And Peter explained it to them. And they saw the working of God right there. And they heard the sermon of Jesus Christ, what his death and his resurrection meant to them. And they were saved. 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Again, he's talking to the Corinthians here. Because every time you get together, every one of you has something to say. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or three, the most, two or at most the three each in turn, and let one interpret. And if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sets by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You see, God's not there to create chaos. He's not there to create confusion. He didn't send his Holy Spirit to do those things. He sent his Holy Spirit for order, for understanding, for clarity. That's why in the days of Pentecost, when all of them began speaking in tongues and it brought the people in, Peter didn't continue to speak in tongues. He started explaining things orderly, with clarity, interpreting what was being said. He didn't leave anyone confused. First Peter. Chapter 4, verse 10. As each one of you has received a gift, minister to it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've talked through now different gifts of the Spirit. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. He will lay things on your heart and provide you the gifts necessary to perform the will of God. There's a responsibility with that. We need to be good stewards just as much with the gifts of the Holy Spirit as we do with our finances, our time here on this planet. And the other blessings the Lord gives us. We've talked now through the Holy Spirit in 9 sermons. If any of you would like notes on this, I'll provide them to you. I'd be more than happy to, so you can study them on your time too. If you have questions, feel free to talk to me or to Pastor Jim. But if the Holy Spirit's talking on your heart right now, we need to be responsible. Stand up and do what we are called to do, what we are anointed to do. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your living word that speaks to us today, thousands and thousands of years after you've said it to many of these prophets that captured the words here in this book. Heavenly Father, it's an unending word, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the guidance that you give us through your Holy Spirit speaking to each and every one of us. Lord, we want to thank you for giving us gifts that integrate, that complement each other, so that we may not function as a singular person, but as a body. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us this united purpose to enact your will here on earth. But most of all, Father, we thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, for becoming flesh and taking upon our sins as payment and giving us peace between you and the world. We thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. It's now time for the invitational hymn. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, if it's just a name, someone that you've heard about, but that you don't know, I encourage you to take a few moments. Talk to your Lord and Savior. Accept His gift that He has given you. We will be singing "I Surrender All." We'll sing the first, second, and last verse. Please stand if you're able.